Chapter 1. Thank you. I vowed vengeance against Iskar and its entire regime as I watched the propaganda on the state-owned media coverage. Hearing politicians brag about quelling uprising after uprising for the sake of keeping peace and prosperity got on my nerves. I turned off the half-broken TV, then stood up from my crummy old torn sofa, leaving my dirty apartment to pick up my daily food rations at the plaza. The plaza is the only location where I could collect my rations. It was within 6 blocks, just up the hill from where I lived. Unfortunately, crime was running amok these days, that it would be a challenge to return home unscathed. I wore raggy brown trousers, torn shoes, and a plain old white t-shirt. I didn't have any usable shorts to wear during the scorching hot weather as of late. I strolled along the crooked sidewalk quickly to reach my destination. My primary goal is to eat breakfast this morning, or else I would be left with an empty stomach again. I live in a large city called Dawnquest, located on the South Continent. Everywhere I went, there are propaganda posters on building walls, trees, apartments, houses, government buildings, offices, markets, and stores. Some read, "Iskar is all of us," while others read, "In the name of Iskar," all with Iskar himself posing and standing tall, with both arms folded across his chest. There was no escape from his overwhelming influence. The streets of Dawnquest have little to no maintenance. Every single street had cracks and potholes galore. Kids played on the empty streets as if nothing bothered them. Since many couldn't afford toys, most had to use their limitless imagination or the shabby environment, such as rocks and sticks, to entertain themselves. Homeless people were lurking around every corner who begged for any amount of money, food, or water. It was impossible not to encounter a homeless man, woman, or child. As I strolled across the ravaged street across my apartment, a family of three devoured a squashed banana piece dropped on the sidewalk, scrounging whatever they could like a flock of vultures. I brought a few dollars in my pockets, sufficient to purchase rations. Citizens who lived in the slums, including me, receive 2 food stamps per day through the mail, with the date marked when they are to be used. The derelicts who didn't rent or own property had no such luck. They aren't given food stamps and instead must resort to stealing or scrapping whatever they found in the bleak streets of this miserable city. As I neared the plaza, I observed a massive line of people waiting to get their rations. Every passing day, more and more people seemed to line up. Only a few weeks ago, the market handed rations out 5 times a day. Now, they are only being handed out Whatever the reason may be, the distribution of rations only grew bleaker. I lined up like everyone else, another sheep in the flock, waiting to be fed. The plaza is one of the most gorgeous places in Dawnquest. The slums paled compared to how magnificently the government designed the plaza. The trees, bushes, and grass cluttered in this colorful place is the only paradise in the slums. Comfortable benches laid out across the plaza so people could enjoy a marvelous day here. In the center stood a statue of Iskar. He wore his military uniform, standing tall and firm, posing, holding his waist with his hands. Vandalizing government property, propaganda posters, or statues is a serious crime that results in hard labor. The balcony on the second floor of the marketplace from where everyone would get their rations was my favorite place to relax. Unfortunately, it was recently closed to the public by city officials. At night, the plaza is closed to the public soon after they gave out dinner rations. The sweltering heat soared as time dragged on. I looked at my broken watch, reading the current time. 8:02 a.m. They didn't start giving out rations until 8 a.m. However, that didn't seem to be the case. The marketplace was still closed for unspecified reasons. A small contingent of police officers stood at the entrance of the market, one of them with a megaphone in hand. Their voice boomed loud and clear throughout the plaza. "Citizens of Dawnquest, we appreciate your patience, but we have unfortunate news that the rations will arrive an hour late. Please remain calm until rations arrive." People were disgruntled when they heard the update. "What do you mean we'll arrive an hour late?" someone yelled. "This will be a long morning, no doubt." I waited patiently, but others were not. Some left while others grew restless. "Give us our rations," some were chanting. "Give us our rations." The chanting continued. I sat down while still in line. My feet could hold no longer. The weather was heating up every minute that passed by. I was baking under the angry sun. Sweat was running down my forehead. My arms, hands, feet, legs, and armpits were all covered in sweat. I looked at the time again. 8:30 a.m. Barely? Time was not on my side today. As I closed my eyes for just a second, I heard a fight break out. I stood up on my 2 feet and looked at the direction of the scuffle. A group of teenagers was trying to break through the marketplace. "Give us our rations," they chanted with the rest. The boys were armed with knives and throwing furniture at the marketplace doors. The police immediately apprehended the boys without a single scratch. The officers disarmed the teens and threatened to kill them if they didn't hold still. One boy spat in the face of an officer. The boy was rapidly greeted with a fist knocking him out cold. The other boys gave up any resistance after they witnessed their friend go down. "On your knees, now," barked an officer, handcuffing the boys. More officers arrived at the scene and threatened to kill anyone else who tried to help the teens. They pointed their guns at the crowd. "Stay back, I say, or I will shoot you all like dogs," threatened an officer. A hush silenced the crowd. The boys were dragged and placed inside a horse carriage. They were likely to be sentenced to hard labor for their mischief.